1 is where I invite you this morning, James chapter 1. I'm going to be going through the book of James, and so we'll see how far we get. It's sort of a series that I've entitled How To for Those Who Want To. And so that's what James does. James is very practical. He gives us a lot of how-tos, how to do this, how to overcome this, how to get through this. And so it's a series is a how-to for those who want to. Not everybody wants to, okay, to do and to grow in their faith and so forth. They perhaps don't consider it to be worth the cost. And James is going to hit that nail on the head right when he first starts here in these first 12 verses that we're going to see. And I believe as we go through the book of James, don't worry, we're not going to do the whole book this morning, okay? And so I see the look on your faces. And so we're not doing that. We're just going to do the first 12 verses of James this morning. And I believe the problem in which they had was an economic problem in the ones that he's speaking to. Finances were tough. They were hard at the time. And you'll see that all the way through. And he uses the word patience time and time again, and testing. The word test again and again as he goes through. And so hopefully we can set the foundation of that here this morning as he's going to share with us how to prepare for the tests of life. How to prepare for the tests of life. How many of you remember the test of the Emergency Broadcasting Service? Do you remember that? I mean, back in the day, you know, on television, and they even did it on radio before my time, but on the television, they had the emergency broadcasting thing, emergency test. It would interrupt the program. No warning. You couldn't avoid it. You know, it was loud. It was annoying. And it always came at the worst time in the program. There was. It would come on, and it would make this loud noise that seemed like, you know, 30 seconds, 45 seconds or so. And there it was, you know. And it was finished. It was over. There was no emergency. And the program came back on. But yet you missed all of that portion right there. It was like, what? What happened? No. And then, yeah. Worst part is I never knew exactly the purpose of that test. I never knew the purpose of that until I got much older, and then I still wonder. The troubles in life are a lot like that, are they not? They're a lot like that. They often come without warning, seemingly without any notice. And at the worst possible times in life, oh no, not now, the refrigerator just died. Oh no, the car's broken down. Oh no, this is happening. Oh no, and there it comes, these tests of life. I want to spend some time through the book of James with the series, How To, for those who want to. And James, as I said here, he's going to help us to prepare for the tests of life. There's 4 points I want to give you here today. How can we prepare? First of all, understand the reality of tests. You need to understand that tests will come your way. Verse 1, James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Trials will be a part of your new year. And the next year, and the next year, and the next year as well. Trials are a part of our life. Notice in verse 2 several things. It does not say if you encounter trials, if you encounter these problems. Instead it says when they come. You cannot escape tests in your life. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, he says. In the world you shall have tribulation. You may not know exactly when and what it's going to be, but you can bank on the fact that as long as you are in this world, troubles and trials and tests are going to be a part of your life. The only way to escape these troubles and trials and tests of life is to not be a part of this world. Because Jesus again said, you shall have tribulation in this world. Notice again in verse 2, not only does it say when, in other words, they are going to happen in your life, he goes on to say in verse 2, he said, that there are divers temptations. Now, it's not talking about the scuba diver kind of a guy. Literally, it means multicolored or a rainbow color assortment of troubles and trials and tests that come into your life. And so trials come in all colors in life. They come in the color of physical from a cold that may cloud your day, or cancer that just may end your life as well. It comes in the financial color as well, because sometimes there's more month than there is money, and we don't know what to do, and the promotion doesn't come through like I wanted it to, or the job offer that I had, it fell all apart. And so the testing and trials of life, their emotional color as well, that plagues your heart and robs you of the peace that passes all understanding, because it's something emotional that somebody did to you, or something that didn't happen in life that you were counting on to happen. Family colors as well, due to a death, or perhaps even just a plain old misunderstanding that gets blown all out of proportion. And so this is what they were going through. The financial aspect, I believe, that was their problem. The list goes on, and the words of James in chapter 2, verse 2 again, it says, count it all joy when you fall into. You fall into. He gives us the idea of falling into these things. You ever watch, some of the shows, and they're out in the jungles and so forth, and they dig a big hole and they cover it all over, and somebody's walking along and all at once, boom, down they go, down inside there, down in this pit, and they're surrounded, completely surrounded. That's what he means when he says fall into, completely surrounded, unable to get out, surrounded by this problem in my life, and I see no way of escape. I cannot seem to get out of this trial or this trouble that I find myself in. Notice one last thing, and that's in verse 2. It's the word temptations there. Temptations means putting to proof or putting to test. You might consider these troubles and trials as tests, where you are tempted to run away and to flee, these things. And so he says, he calls them temptations here, but we might refer to them as tests. These are the troubles and tribulations that are done to you, perhaps by someone else, or because of the simple fact that we live in a fallen world. Christians, we need to understand, are not immune from bullets. They don't go around, Christians. Cancer doesn't come up upon you and say, oh, they're Christian, and go on to the next guy either, you see. And so these are the tests of life and problems of life and troubles of life that come upon us, not because we've sinned, not because we've done something wrong. He's going to talk about that in verse 13 on next week, okay? He's going to talk about that aspect. Anyone who tells you to come to Christ and all your troubles will be over is either lying to you, or they just don't understand scriptures at all. Because you are not immune from troubles and trials and testing in your life. In fact, we're going to find out here in just a moment that you want these tests in your life. That's why he says, count it all joy. Seems like a paradox, does it not? Count it all joy that I'm suffering. Count it all joy I'm being tested. Count it all joy that I'm in these trials of life and I can't seem to get out. This physical need, this thing in my body, and I just can't seem to get rid of it. And so how can I count that as a joy? You're going to find out here in just a moment that God uses these things. These tests of life seem to show up out of nowhere for absolutely no reason. And they're very real. Very painful at times as well. But know this. Christians do not suffer through these trials and tests for no reason at all. With God, there's a reason and a purpose for everything He allows His children to experience. How do you prepare for the tests of life that come your way? First of all, understand that's the reality of life itself. In this world in which we live, tests and trials are going to come your way. But the second thing we want to take a look at is found in verse 3. Uncover the reason for your tests. Those reasons why God allows these things in your life. Verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, he says. Perhaps the hardest part of the trial is not the pain. Perhaps the hardest part is not knowing why this trial, this test, is a part of my life. Why is it that God is allowing this into my life to happen? Perhaps that's the most painful part. We may never know why, but I do know that God has reasons for the tests that He allows into our life and the trials for us to experience. He has a reason. And that fact alone can make the difference between you being on top of your trial or that trial being up on top of you, smothering you, crushing your life. God has given several reasons why He allows trials to come into our come our way. Knowing these will help to encourage you because you realize this, that God is at work in my life. When God allows tests into your life, then you can understand that God is at work in my life. Let's take a look. First of all, God wants you to know. What do you need to know? God wants you to know that trials test your testimony. Trials test your testimony. Verse 3 again, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God allows trials into your life to test your faith. You know, when you go through trials, your faith in God is placed in front of a mirror. And then you get to stand there and watch it as you're going through this test in life. Whether it be an emotional one, whether it be a physical problem that's going on in your life or financial problem, you know, or what have you, relationship problem, and you can see it there. Not for God to observe, but for you to know how strong or how weak your faith may be, and that God can keep us from anything that He wants in our life, but He's allowed this to happen in my life. And so now I'm standing there and I'm watching, kind of looking at the mirror here. I know what God has told me. Is my faith actually living this out in my life? Or have I just kind of set that aside and I don't want to do that? God allows a trial in your life to reveal the kind of faith you really have. You know, teachers at school, teachers teach. You say, well, that's not rocket science. We knew that. Teachers teach, and then they give you the test after. They don't give you the test without first teaching, do they? Not a very good teacher if they did that. God is the same way, does He not? God will teach us something from His Word. He teaches us, and then He says, okay, now I'm going to test you to see if you really got it. We don't like that part. We don't like tests. Well, what student really likes tests? You like tests, right? No. But when you go through the test and you pass it, then there's some satisfaction in that. That I have gone through that test. I was taught. I was tested. And now I've got it. I can understand it. And I know what it is. And that's what God does. The tests reveal if we really believe what we know. Peter said this, okay? Peter said, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And so God allows our faith to be tested so that we can see, do we really understand what He wants in my life? And sometimes, you know, you ever see, you go to class and they got the test, you know, and everybody's in the class and the teacher says, okay, when you finish your test, you can get up and go. You ever been the last one? The last one, and you're really struggling with that, you know, and you're sitting there and you're sitting there and you're sitting there because you just didn't quite get it. Sometimes that's why God has us to go through those tests a little while longer, because He wants us to get it. He wants us to understand it. And sometimes He has to keep teaching. And sometimes, we may just forget about the test and get up and run out. Well, guess what you're going to face tomorrow? Same test, same hurdle in life, because God says, I want you to understand this. And there's a reason for that. Take a look. Secondly, we find that God wants you to know that trials provide you with patience. These trials to your faith. Notice He says here in verse 3 again, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, He says. The word patience carries the idea to remain under, To endure is a better word that I would use here. God is looking to work, he says, to verse 3, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. What God wants is God wants to accomplish endurance in your life. Endurance, to stay with the stuff. Now, what happens, you know, when the first time that the trial comes along, we want to run, we want to hide, we want to bail, as Brother Robert was talking about, with the temptations, you know, to sin that mount upon us, we usually give in. But here, when the trials and testings of life come our way, no matter what it is, we want to run. God says, I want you to endure. I want you to continue on in this. God is looking to so that we would trust Him enough. He wants to work in our hearts and lives to trust Him enough to stay put in the trial until His purpose has been accomplished in our life. God says, just endure. This is not for nothing. It's going to bring about what I want to do in your life. And so just hang in there. Don't focus on it. Count it all joy, remember? We're going to find out why here in just a moment. But he says, focus on me. Trust me. When you submit to the trials that God allows in your life, it's the same way, you know, as a patient submits to a surgeon. You got the orderlies, they come in and they prep you for the surgery, you know, and they start wheeling you down the hallway to the surgical room, and you can see the lights, you know, kind of go one after the other, and your nerves are starting to build, and there you go, and you get into emergency, or you get into the surgical room there, and right before they put the anesthesia, you're going to either trust him or you're not. You're either going to get up, run out of there, or you're going to allow the doctors to do what they need to do to change, to make you better in life. God says, that's what I want to do in your life as well. This trial is in your life. This test is to produce endurance, to stay with me, to let me work in your life. Don't run away. Don't try to hide from it. Don't cry and complain about it, but let me work in your life. This is what he wants. He wants to work and produce this in you. Instead of running from trials, run in them. I didn't say run to them. And so God will take care of that, okay? But just develop this endurance and patience, trusting God. Even though I'm suffering through this, God will see me through it. God will take care of me. Third, God also wants you to know that trials move you to maturity as well. Verse 4, notice what he says, but let patience, or endurance, okay, have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Endurance produces maturity. Trials and testing produce endurance. Endurance produces maturity. God wants you to grow. A faith that endures matures. God wants you to grow closer to Him. That's what He's wanting. He's wanting you more dependent upon you. That won't happen without some pain, some sweat, and some tears. We can get into this book and we can get to see, we can read what it says, but until we actually go through and experience some of the things to bear it out, yes, I've got it, yes, I understand it now, because God is with me, God didn't abandon me, yes, it hurt, yes, it was painful, I'm not trying to diminish that at all, but now that I'm on the other side of this, whether it be the death of someone, whether it be the physical ailments that we had, now that we're on this side of it, I can say I am better off for it now, because God won't allow any junk to come into my life. We all want to have a faith that'll move mountains, but as soon as we begin to experience a trial, we look for the way out, do we not? Yeah. You know, I'm told about the butterfly. You know, the butterfly's in a cocoon. And I'm told that, you know, if it starts to break its way out, you know, and you come by and you say, oh, I'm going to help it. And you start tearing the cocoon apart and let it fly. You know what will happen when you get it all torn apart? You know what the butterfly does? He goes out of the cocoon and splat right down on the ground. His fight, his struggle to go through produces the muscles for his wings to fly. That's the way it is for us as well. Because God says, I want you to grow. I want you to grow strong. I want you to mature. This is going to help mature your faith in what I can do in your life. And so don't run off. Don't run off. Don't hide. God is too good to allow us to remain spiritual weak. So he says, I want you to grow. His goal is that we grow up conformed to the image of his Son, and he will not be satisfied until we get to the point of wanting him more than anything. That's what Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is, I shall not be in want. The need, though, to fight is, we have that desire to fight to get out of it and away from it. And just like the butterfly, we can't fly. We don't grow. And so God says, I need you to endure because it's going to produce maturity here in your life. How do you prepare for the tests that come your way? Unfold the way in which you should respond to the tests. Now he's going to tell us, okay, this is how you should respond. Now, by the way, I'm not talking about a fake smile. I'm not talking about a fake it till you make it. I'm not talking about some pious type of, you know, religious language, you know, that say, you know, that says, oh, I'm doing okay, you know. And so, no, God expects you to be real. And James is going to give us some responses here. How should I respond when trials come our way? Go back to verse 2. You must decide. It's a choice for you to make. You must decide to display some delight. Yet, verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You mean to tell me my car broke down and you want me to count it as joy? You mean to tell me, you know, that my relative is over in the hospital and we don't know the outcome and don't know what the problem is, and you telling me that I've got to count it all joy? When trials come, instead of getting mad, get glad, because God is up to something in your life. This is why he says, count it all joy, because God is up to something in my life. See, if you're going along and there's no tests, no trials, no troubles, no anything at all, then God is not at work in your life. God is not allowing these things to help mature you, to get you to live out and to believe wholeheartedly, full faith, that this word is truth. I can count on God to carry me through. And so the Bible says, does not say that you need to feel joy. It says, count it a joy. Count it a joy. It is it means to evaluate. Evaluate it. The way that you do your paycheck, you know, and you get it to, and you evaluate it. Was it really worth it the last 2 weeks that I spent here? Was that really something worth it? But you see, this is what he's talking about here. The test and trial that comes into your life, he says, evaluate that now. And now that you're on the other side of it, he says, evaluate that to see if it was worth it. And if God brought it to you, it is definitely worth it. If you learn and you grow and you mature in your faith, you say, oh, but you don't know how painful it was. Trust me. You know, think of Job, and Job went through all that he did, that God allowed that to happen in his life. And God said, at the end of all of that, he was restored. I don't know how many times over that he was restored and blessed beyond measure. From our standpoint, our trials don't seem to make sense. The only way to consider your pain, suffering, and trials consider those things a joy is to know that God loves you enough to work in your life. God loves me enough that he's going to work in my life. He's going to help me to grow. He'd increase my faith to become more mature. But you don't understand the pain. You don't understand, you know, the heartache, and you don't understand. No, but God does. I don't need to. God does. If God is at work in your life, it must be needed. It must be needed. And when God gets finished working your life, you'll not only be better, you will be blessed for it as well. It's important because your outlook determines your outcome. Therefore, count it all joy. James is talking about an act of the will. He's an action drives attitudes, does it not? And so he's talking about an act of the will. He's not talking about a fake smile. He's talking about it's a decision that you make, an act of the will, that when you're on a trial, you don't allow your emotions to dictate your actions. Feelings sway back and forth, do they not? You know, I can remember back years ago, you know, and had to carry a bucket of water for different chores and things, and you carry the bucket, and as you were going along, you know, it kind of sways. The water inside there kind of sways from side to side. You know, we're happy one day, and the next day we're sad, and this day, you know, yes, I can do it, I'm strong, and this day here, it kind of waves and wafts, and so I quit, I can't do this no more. God, I can't take it anymore. You see, God, okay, we're going to do this today. And so on and on it goes. That's what your emotions do. He says, here is an act of the will. He says, decide that I'm going to count this all joy. That's why it's important to display joy in your trials. Because if you don't, a root of bitterness will spring up. You'll get angry. You'll get mad at God. You'll get bitter. Why am I the only one that's going through this? Sometimes we think that way, do we not? It'll spoil your walk with Christ. When you allow your trial to come between you and the Lord and separate yourself from the power that you need to make it through the trial is what happens. That's what you do. You cut yourself off. Paul knew this when he prayed for his thorn to be removed. You remember that? He prayed, and then he prayed again, and he prayed again, his thorn in his flesh, and it hurt. It was something very real, and he prayed for it three times, and each time God said, no, no. And he endured, and he kept going, and he kept going. And you know what he said at the end of that trial, the end of that test? You know what he said? God's grace is sufficient. He would not have known that had he not endured. Had he just bailed on God's test altogether and went his own way, he'd have never realized that. He knew it, but he didn't grab hold of it. It wasn't a part of his life that he had. Paul didn't get bitter, he got better, and he was glad for the pain. But it was only for the power of God that worked in his life. Much like a mother in labor, you know, she knows the pain. She knows what's coming, okay? But it's a joyful pain, is it not? Now, you say, so much for you to say. You've never had one. But I hear, there you go, it's quite painful. I've seen several, and you know, I've heard the screams, and I've heard the, you know, the shouts and things, and so I've seen all of that. Get it out and stop. You don't understand, we can't stop. But that's the way we do in our lives. But a mother doesn't necessarily have that. She endures the pain, because once it's over, she'll have a bundle of joy. Count it all joy. What a joy it was. No. My mom used to say, you know how many hours of labor I was in when you were born, and you can't have any more respect for me than that, you know. And so, but she counts it all joy. At the time, you know, she's not looking at and focusing on the pain at the moment, but what's coming is going to be better. Oh, a child! God will use the aches and pains of your trial to bring about the joyful results of maturity. Joy is worth the testing in life. How should you respond when trials come our way? Don't waste time wondering and wavering. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, now see, I've used this again and again and again, this verse. If any of you lack wisdom, and me, you know, I lack a lot of wisdom in much of everything. And so I always ask God, give me wisdom in this. But James' context here is in the middle of a test. You're right in the middle of this test here. You see, God is, if it's a fact that God has taught me, okay, and this is something that I need to understand and to experience in order to really grab a hold of it, you see. And so I, what I need to do then is ask God, what is it that you're trying to teach me? What is it that I need to learn? What is it that I'm not getting that you're trying to get me to grow in? What area? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given to him. You say, oh, but God gives the wisdom to Sister Sally over there, and she's doing fine, and God gave wisdom over here. It says, no, he gives to all of us liberally. He says, but we got to ask for it, is what he said. And so what kind of wisdom do you ask for? Wisdom to know how to handle the trial. You simply pray, Lord, show me how to respond in this. Show me how to be joyful, to look for those things, to be joyful. Lord, help me see the good in this. Help me to grow. But pray, he said, but not half-heartedly. Look at verse 6. Let him ask in faith. Again, this is what God is trying to do in your life, is to increase your faith, to make your faith mature, and to endure is what he wants. He says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. There, the Bible says, a double-minded person is one who stumbles and staggers spiritually and just through life as well, hesitates and doubts. Someone who can't make up his mind, he prays, Lord, thy will be done, but not if it means more troubles and trials. I don't want that in my life. Rather ask God, God, help me to see the joy in this. Ask God, help you to endure through this. Ask God to remind you the test is going to lead to growth. Remind me of this, Lord. Ask God to help you understand what He taught you that you need to put into practice. Ask in faith, expect an answer. Because that's what it says. Ask God, because He'll give it liberally. But you've got to ask in faith, not doubting. And God will answer. How should you respond when trials come your way? Decide to display some delight. Don't waste time wondering and wavering. Go to God. Ask Him. Ask Him. And then we see here third, give God the glory for His goodness as well. Verse 9. And it says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away, for the sun is no sooner risen with burning heat, but wherewith the grass and the flower thereof falleth away, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade in his ways. Notice what we see here. You can praise God if you're poor and experience trials, because you have a resource beyond the money that you don't have. That's God. That's God. Thank God for health. You thank God for family. You thank God for a house to live in, clothes on your back. Even in poverty, we can praise God, can we not? And if you're a rich person, the health, you know, with health problems that money can't fix, or a wayward child that money won't bring back home, praise God, because God can teach you that MasterCard does not fix everything, but the Master does. The Master can fix everything. You just simply need to go to Him and watch what He can do in your life. Learn to respond God's ways and then watch God work in your life. And then finally, I'm almost done, unlock the reward for the tests as well. Verse 12, blessed, he says. Blessed, that means better off. Fortunate, it means. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried and endured, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. James says, blessed is the one that endures the test. That endures the test, grab hold of God, in prayer with God, allowing their faith to mature in what God has taught them in His Word, and experiencing now in life. James says, blessed are they. When you endure the test and the lesson is learned, God rewards. And it says here, it's a crown of life. In school, when you finish, the classes were taken, and you passed all the tests, you get to wear that special little hat, you know, and you walk across the stage, you know, and you receive your diploma. God rewards as well. God's reward involves a recognition that you have overcome that trial in your life by trusting Him, by counting what He wanted in your life more valuable than your own comfort in life. How long will your trials last? Only God knows. But I know it'll be worth it. Know this, God wants you to pass the test. That I know. to overcome the trial, you need to mature in your faith so that he can indeed reward you. But it's more than just rewarding you with that crown. But notice the last part of it, he says, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. He wants you to grow in your faith and learn to love him more and more. That's why he allows the trials, tests to come into your life. So that you'll learn to love others with a Christ-like compassion when they go through the trials. God will allow trials to come into your life if you're not close to him. Let me ask you this. How's your relationship with him? How's your prayer time? Your Bible study? Your church attendance? Your service for Christ? God will allow trials in your life to help you to grow. Have you been growing in your faith in him? Do you say, well, I'm into the word. I'm into the word, but let me ask you, are you practicing this as well? Because if it's not a part of your life to get it into it and to claim it and to grab hold of it and to put it into practice, watch out, there'll be a test come along. God said, I'm going to help you grow. I'm going to help you to grow. Let me ask you this. You say, well, I'm growing. In what way have you grown in the past year? We've just finished 2025. How did you grow in spiritually speaking in 2025? Can't think of a thing? Maybe we're not growing. Say, well, there were a lot of tests, there were a lot of trials, there were a lot of troubles, but I don't remember the growing. God's got some more tests coming for you, because that's what he wants. You're going through a trial, remember, God will not allow any trial into your life that you cannot handle, he says. And you won't go through it alone. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It's God's desire for you to pass the test. And then move on to the next level. Great. But think about this. Think about the tool you'll become in his hand as you grow and mature in your relationship with him and in his word and how he then can use you to bring him the glory. Stand with me. Maybe you need to come today and ask God for wisdom. God, I've been going through this trial in my life, and it's physical, it's financial, it's relational, and Lord, I'm struggling, and I just can't seem to overcome it. Come and ask God for wisdom today. That's what he said. He said, come and ask for wisdom. Perhaps you're here today and you're facing the world all alone without the Lord Jesus Christ. You're facing all these trials and troubles and tribulations in life without the Lord Jesus. Then why not come so that you can experience the power of God in your life to help overcome as to what you need in life as well. We're in this world, and in this world you shall have tribulation, the Bible says. The Lord says, I want to strengthen your faith. Will you just acknowledge to God today and say, God, here I am. Here I am. I want that closer walk with you. Lord, here I am. These problems of life are going on. And Lord, I just hand them over to you right here, right now. Help me to understand what it is you want me to learn. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what we've heard today. Now, Lord, help us to put it into practice. Help us, Lord, just to reach out to you at this time, to rely upon you to carry us through, and to remember that you will reward. We will be blessed having come out the other side, that which you're trying to get us to learn. We know it's not easy, and we pray for those here today that are in the midst of a test and a trial of life. Help us, Lord, to do what we can just to encourage them along the way. Bless this time of invitation. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. What song we going